Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Join the growing crowd at Mid-Delta Online Auction. Download their app by searching Mid-Delta Auction to bid on tractors, trailers, heavy equipment, golf carts, and more. Download the app today or call Will Jeffcoat at 662-299-2414 for more details for the first Tuesday of every month auction in Greenwood.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, here we go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Oak Grove. Bob Kelly and Dima, opening segment, sponsored as it is every day. Dickie's Barbecue Pit, great place to have dinner tonight, great place to cater your next event. We're going to hear from football coach Blake Anderson, second part of that interview. Crabtree, what's his first name?
Thomas.
Thomas Crabtree, forgive me. Thomas Crabtree, new pitcher on the Golden Eagle staff, going to hear from him a little later. Right now, we're going to kick off today's show, reporting on last night's 5-1 loss to Southeastern Louisiana.
And can I reenact something that happened this morning in the Hattiesburg area? Okay, so you have to envision the Leaf River Bridge. Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is what you might have heard,
Mr. Getty, please come off of the bridge. Show us your hands.
Yes, it's
just one game, Mr. Yes. Getty.
Well, the score was 5-1. I'm going to turn it over to Dima.
Yeah, I mean, of course, when you look at the box score, it's just more of the same stuff that you've been accustomed to seeing from this baseball team so far this season. Just can't get hits with runners on. Believe they were 1-for-12 last night with runners on the base path, which is just, I mean, just abysmal. I mean, that you just can't expect to beat anybody with those numbers. 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position, 3-for-12 with two outs, and, you know, just consistently not getting people on the base path. And when you get them on the base path, not being able to get a hit to move them into scoring position or score a run. And then, you know, you just kind of got a bad break and a couple of balls to left field that left fielder just made a couple good plays on, and sometimes you just got to tip your cap.
One great play.
So sometimes you got to tip your cap, but I mean, really the main concern right now is, you know, you really thought and hoped that App State game on Sunday might have turned some things around, but you know, the last 12 games, 6-6, it's just not a really good outlook on this Southern Miss baseball team right now.
Something that's really stark that jumps out to me is when you look at the overall offensive statistics from the conference. All right. Southern Miss led a lot of categories last year at this time. And now they're nowhere near the top in just about every category. In fact, they're close to the bottom in just about every one.
Mm-hmm. You had a lot of good players to replace, but they went out in the portal, brought in kids I think they believe could hit. Now, the kid from South Alabama, he's really stepped up. Davis Gillespie, I think, is hitting well. But, boy, what a struggle. And, Dima, this is what just jumps out at me. You told me yesterday off the air that the young man pitching for Southeastern had not gone more than two innings, and he throws 102 putches last night of shutout baseball.
Yeah, and I think the most concerning part to me was that his stuff wasn't – I don't even really think it got above 90. And so when you're late, just from baseball analytics states of things, when you're late on an 88-mile-an-hour fastball from the level of Southern Miss that plays – that signals something is very wrong, like very wrong at the plate. And that to me is the most concerning part, is that, you know, it's okay to lose games like that last night, 9-7, where you just kind of get a couple of bad breaks. But, I mean, virtually uncompetitive again on a Tuesday night. This is two Tuesday nights in a row now. Mississippi State last week,
totally,
of course,
uncompetitive.
Completely different team. But you were almost, I mean, outside of a bloop single, almost shut out in your home park by a Southland team, which would be the first shutout, I believe, since Tennessee in that super regional on your home field. And like Kelly said, right now they're 12th in the Sun Belt in batting average. They're 12th or 11th in the Sun Belt in hits.
There's 14 teams, by the way, just for the record.
Correct. On base percentage right now, They sit 11th in the Sun Belt. It's just honestly just startling numbers in a way where, you know, a lot of people are talking about, you know, why don't they have hitters, all these things. It's like, well, this isn't like a freshman and sophomore lineup. Like, these are a bunch of guys who've played a lot of baseball, so it's just so puzzling to see them go through something like this.
Consider this stat. Last two midweek games outscored 17-1.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, of course, last week was kind of an outlier with that being Mississippi State. But you're right. I mean, you were virtually non-competitive in both of those games.
The one knack that Southern has had this year is the ability to win the close games. They've won a lot of the 6-5, 4-3s. They've walked off some, you know, some games. But it's like they get on 4 or 5 runs, and it's
– And I'm going to say this, and I've said this before, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but this hitting problem was disguised early in the year by elite pitching. They won some games early in the year against really good competition that the pitching staff carried the day. Wasn't that they outscored the opponent. They just couldn't score against Southern Miss pitching. Kelly, you're a baseball guy. You can't do that all year long. You can't do that in 60 games and think every single game the pitching staff is going to carry you through.
And what was even more impressive about the start to the season was those were against high-caliber, quality teams.
Yeah.
And now we also said that pitching does tend to carry most of the load with any team. You know, it takes a little while for the hitters to catch up to the pitching. But if that's the case, then the Southern Miss hitters are going backwards and not forward, at least at this point.
Think about this. You got wins over Oregon State, UC Santa Barbara, Alabama, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and you're 500 against Southeast Louisiana and Nichols.
Yeah, and I think that's what's just kind of almost stunning. You know, I talked to Oz last night, and he's –
I bet that was fun.
Well, his demeanor is just almost like he just really can't believe it from how good of a start they've had. And I go back to what you kind of just said about how the pitching disguised the hitting. The hitting in February was fine. It 294 average, 14 home runs, 66 RBIs. That's a fine pitching. That's fine offensive numbers against the arms they were seeing. UC Santa Barbara, you know, the Oregon States, the Louisiana Techs, the Alabamas. That's really good numbers, almost batting 300. And then you get into March, and you're playing North Alabama, Arkansas State, Troy, App State, Nichols, like you said, and their batting average is down to 250.
I think that North Alabama was the first series that kind of raised an eyebrow a little bit. Yeah, they won the series. They won all three games, but not convincingly against North Alabama. And it's just been, like you say, 15-2 and then 6-6 in the next 12 games.
Well, there's going to be a big magnifying glass on this team this weekend when they go to Old Dominion, because Old Dominion is not.
This is must sweep.
Yeah, and you're sitting there going, really? Old Dominion's not very good. They are playing on their home field, but man, Southern Miss has got its back up against the wall right now because they don't get to do their own dirty work. They don't get to play Coastal Carolina, and that's who everybody is chasing right now. So if you go to Old Dominion and not sweep that series, there's a potential that you fall a little bit even further behind.
No doubt. And Old Dominion does have a pretty decent offense. They bat in the 290s, so that's a pretty decent offense. Of course, Southern Miss has the best pitching in the Sun Belt. But Old Dominion's pitching staff is atrocious. They have a team ERA of 6.79, which is just awful.
So?
Yeah, but that's the thing is, like, that was my point, Bob. I was basically saying, like, if you can't hit this staff, there's some severe questions that have to be asked.
But another game last night, Demo, where you can't blame the pitching staff for losing the game.
No. I mean, 5 runs in a midweek, I mean, you're really fine with that.
Two of those on one shot.
Correct.
Kid just barrels it out of the park. You know?
And I just feel like, I don't know if anybody else feels the sentiment as well, but I just wonder about Southern Miss's athleticism in the infield. Because the amount of times where teams are able to sneak singles through that infield, it's honestly startling. It's a little concerning to me. And I know you lost two great players in Pratt and Monastir, but there's just so many times this season I feel like somebody hits a really hard hit ball to the infield and it's like just past the outstretched glove or like just past, like an inch. And I don't know if that's, you know, reaction time that's different, maybe a little step below last year's team or the previous years they've had. Is that defensive alignment that's off? I mean, it's just almost every time somebody finds a hole through the infield, it's not even like teams are just gapping them, right, and for doubles. It's just like singling them to death, and then, you know, you get the two-run shot.
Well, the bottom line problem is clear. They're not stringing any back-to-back hits together. When is the last time they had three back-to-back-to-back hits? You know,
that's been a problem, especially the past 6 weeks.
And you get people on first and second and one out, and you can just almost predict what's coming. You know, you can just almost predict.
This is going to be
got to snap out of it
going forward. And I think this is really the first time that I can remember under Coach Ostrander that this team has really, really faced major adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to expectations,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, this is the problem when you have high expectations.
I disagree. I mean, last year we were in April and we didn't even think they were going to make a regional. I mean, with the way their RPI was sitting. Like,
no, but
and they had to answer, and they did. So I disagree that this is like the one time.
And half the season's still in front of them.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
No, and I see what you're saying, but based on expectations, the team wasn't expected necessarily last year to be as good, as particularly
no, that's
with this
not
start.
True. They were expected to be good last year.
Not as good as this year, though.
Yeah, pitching-wise.
Okay, that's what I was talking about.
All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Thomas Crabtree later in the show. He's a new face on the team and very happy to be here, as you're going to hear. But next, we're going to have the second part of the interview with the football coach as we continue to look at Southern Miss football. And, boy, there's another mystery right on the horizon. So Blake Anderson will talk about that next.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, second segment of the program is sponsored by Eagle Tire West out on Highway 98 West. That's where you'll find Matt Warren. Wonder if he's got any eligibility left. Can he hit?
I think under the current circumstances, he'd rather just be on the sidelines.
I think he's probably exactly yeah. happy as he can be at Eagle Tire West.
Right.
That's where they sell premium Goodyear products, full-service truck and auto work, Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West, Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters, family owned since 1985. And of course, we just kind of, as we said, half the baseball season still in front of the Golden Eagles. And historically, they've really picked it up offensively in April. So it's April. Let's go.
Let's hope that the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior.
I think so. All right, Kelly spent some time Friday afternoon with the new head football coach, Blake Anderson. They are, of course, in the middle of spring practice. And as is always the case, everything stems around who's going to be the quarterback. And as we heard yesterday, there are three kids battling for that job. Is that right, Kelly? Two returners and a new guy.
And he said that probably the most improved player on the team was John White, the highly heralded quarterback that stuck around, you know, from the Jackson area.
I was actually glad to hear that.
Me too.
I'm rooting for that kid. I'd like to see him get a shot.
And he may not. He may not. But it's just nice to know that he made the decision to stay.
So then Coach was asked, what is the best thing one of those guys can do to step up and win the job?
The best thing to do is make good decisions and protect the football. I mean, it's really don't press. Protect the football, make good decisions, the rest will come. I've told them all, be patient, take what they give you. If you got to throw 25 straight checkdowns in a row, then that's what you need to do. But what they can't do is turn the ball over and press and put us in harm's way. That guy didn't play. We don't win games that way. You know, in that formula we just talked about, we don't win the games, we turn the ball over. And it starts with those guys.
Staff-wise, Joe Bolden, the special teams coordinator last year, obviously at DC for you guys now. What did you like about that hire and that youth he kind of brings to this defense?
Well, I love the job that he did with our special teams last year. They were organized. They played hard. You know, we struggled kicking the ball at times, but in terms of mechanically, our special teams was really, really sound. And listening to him teach and coach, and the way the guys responded to him, you transfer that over to defense. You love that environment. You look at his pedigree, who he's learned from. Don Brown and Greg Madison, some of those guys, his time at Michigan, his time at USC, and then even his time here with Boogie last year, and one of the best minds in football. So he's had the right guys. He grew up in football. He's a gym rat. You know, I just think it's a matter of him going and doing the work, and I think he's got a solid room of guys around to help him, one of which has been a coordinator himself and Mike Bethea. So I'm pleased. I mean, time will tell, you know, for all of us.
You talked about the Michigans and the USCs. I've heard it compared that schools with this size of enrollment and in this type of conference, that their players have the same skill sets. They're just as fast. They can do the same things. They're just not quite as big and maybe just not quite as strong as some of those bigger schools. Is that a fair analysis, generally speaking?
You know, having time in the ACC, that's fair. You know, we may be a couple inches shorter in some spots, and maybe we're not quite as heavy. We're trying to get to those areas and still recruit that way, but we can still find value without having quite the measurables. But we don't have to beat those guys every weekend either. We need to be able to beat people in the Sun Belt. You know, we're not measured by whether or not we can beat Mississippi State every week or whether or not we can beat LSU every week. We've got to be able to win in this league. And so we've got to find value where others don't. We still got to develop to some degree. And so, yes, we're going to look a little bit different on Saturday, but we're not going to play those guys every week either. And so we got to measure ourselves by this league and try to be competitive and win in this league with what we can go out and acquire. And maximize what each guy can do with effort, execution, and schematically what we're able to do.
Final question that I have, Coach, is that, and if I'm interpreting your feedback correctly, you want to see exactly what you have. So you really can you at this point say we're going to run this type of offense, or we're going to run that kind of defense?
Not really. I mean, we know what our base is going to be. I mean, we're not going to overhaul the entire offense or defense, but within that, we need to know what we can do before we try to go and do something specifically as it pertains to scheme. We've got to find what we are best at, what our most athletic attributes are, and that has to be our focus. If you can't play man covers, play zone. If we can't create rush, then we got to blitz it. If we can't throw the ball, then we're going to have to rub people off and create opportunity. Like, we've got to think about what we have and then use the schemes that we have and mold them to fit the bodies that way. I think that's more important now than ever before. And we can do that, and we've done it in the past. It's one of the things I like about the system. It's versatile based off the people that you have. So this spring is a lot about finding out what we are best at in both areas, and then we can go back to the drawing board and figure out, all right, schematically, how do we tailor the systems to fit the people that we have on this roster?
All right, so it sounds like to me that the coach is searching for answers, fellas.
I think what he's the most important thing of the entire interview was that very last answer. We don't know what we're going to run necessarily specific, you know, a general shell of what we're going to do, but specifically we don't know what we have. So we have to be able to structure our attack both offensively and defensively around what kind of athletes we have, and we're still sorting through the pile. We don't know yet exactly what we have. So in the spring before, or spring of yesteryears, 10 and 20 years ago, you'd know pretty much what you have. You knew who you had coming back. You knew what your strengths and weaknesses were going to be. But with so much turnover on this team, nearly 100%, I mean, wow, this spring is just going to be a discovery period. And a lot of other schools are in similar situations, but not near as drastic as it is at Southern Miss.
No, that's 100% right. They're last in the whole country in returning production, and then you know you have a lot of transfers in that you really you see what you see on film, but between their JUCO days and maybe Division II, but you don't have a lot of FBS film, and I think that's, you know, what Blake is kind of wanting to see is like, listen, I just want to see my guys hit. I just want to see my guys be able to block somebody. I just want to see my guys be able to tackle somebody, and that's why I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. Their first spring scrimmage tomorrow. So members of the media get to watch that and we get to report on that. So I'm looking forward to seeing that tomorrow and just kind of getting an idea of what, you know, a two deep even potentially looks like.
He said something I found very interesting. I've advocated this for a long time to our fan base. Don't worry about what LSU's doing. Don't worry about what Ole Miss and Tennessee are doing. You don't play those guys. You play a money game every now and then. You're a Sun Belt football team. Back then, you were a Conference USA football team. That's what you focus on. You win your conference. You enjoy watching your school play in its conference, being the best it can be in its conference, and quit worrying about what the, you know, the guys with more NIL money than your total athletic budget.
Of course, but just compare it to last year at this time. Charles Huff knew pretty much what he had.
Right.
I mean, because he brought him with him. Right, for Marshall, he brought a quarterback, yeah. Brought some great players with him. Right. But Blake Anderson is in a situation where he's almost got a blindfold on him. He's got to throw darts to a certain degree.
I would advocate, Kelly, that no coach has ever been left with a more empty cupboard here than Blake Anderson was left by Charles Huff.
I can't think of any team that's in that situation. Mm-hmm. Even like I mentioned my alma mater of Iowa State, Matt Campbell, but – you know, he took a lot of players with him from Iowa State to Penn State, but some of the players were left. I mean, it's like nobody here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One difference, though, is Iowa State's got the money. I hate to say this.
No, they do.
They've got the money to buy another roster.
They do. They do.
And Southern Miss does not.
But if you go back to that Sun Belt comparison, not a lot of other teams in the Sun Belt have that either. In fact,
so compete in the Sun Belt.
Yeah, it's interesting that you talked about Iowa State. Jalen Rayner, the quarterback at Arkansas State last year, is now at Iowa State.
Yeah.
So Arkansas State's going to have to start just about every team in the Sun Belt.
So let me ask you, Dima, can Southern Miss in the fall of 2026 compete in the Sun Belt?
You know, if I had to guess now, I'd probably say no. But that's just my guess now. That's just with me seeing the team three times. So if I had to say now, you know, compete is kind of what definition of that is, but if you know, if I'm just a journalist looking at it, I would say probably not. But you know, it's not just about the team he has. There's also a lot of other question marks. Not let's talk about defensive coordinator Joe Bolden. Right, this is going to be his first time ever calling defensive plays in his life, and he's the defensive coordinator over a new defense where you have new all over the field. I mean that's pretty concerning in my opinion. If you're just taking it from a thousand view up. Now that's before I've seen any pad hitting or anything like that. So that's, I just want to clarify that maybe, you know, after spring, I'm like, well, you know, this team, they got talent, you know, if they could just piece it together, you know, they might be decent, but it's also predicated on what does the Sun Belt even look like, you know, in the fall too.
That's where I was going to go. And the calendar right now, it's baseball season. Okay. In a couple of months, we get to July. We're going to know a little bit more what the other teams.
Then it'll be basketball
in the Sun Belt.
Come July, right?
Just finished.
Well, they're still playing.
Crowning a national champion.
They're still playing.
Yeah. Speaking of the Sun Belt.
They're still playing college basketball.
The women's NIT semifinals. The women's NIT semifinals, Arkansas State hosting Marshall. Yeah. Two Sun Belt teams in the WNIT semifinals.
Let me repeat that. It is April, and they're still playing college basketball. It started in October.
And that is not April Fools. That is the truth.
That's right.
Well, I tell you, one person's happy to be here. That's Thomas Crabtree, a Pearl River kid who says he feels back at home. We'll hear from him next.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back. DBAT sponsors the third segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. They're located on Hardy Street. Baseball, softball training, extraordinaire. Beautiful facility down there. Great pro shop. Gift card ideas, summer camps, spring camps. There's a lot going on at DBAT, and you need to check it out. As you do, our good friends at MCS Home Center, that's where you go for home repair, home remodeling, home construction. Should add, too, they got a beautiful new nursery. My wife was down there, of course, spending money on plants last week, and they've just got a really nice selection of patio plants, lawn plants, all the kind of things that you work so hard at in the spring, Kelly. You know, making your yard look beautiful.
I thought you were talking about baby nursery. I was like, oh.
Yeah, no, I.
He doesn't work hard at that.
And actually, I don't work hard in the yard. I leave that to Ernesto. Yeah, you know that.
Have
Rob.
You ever cut a Have you ever cut a blade of grass?
I've smoked some grass, but you
no,
want to talk about
what
that?
I no? ask. Have you oh. cut any grass?
No, Ernesto does that.
I say, have you ever weed eated?
No, again, I've smoked some weeds, but I...
Have you ever trimmed the bushes? Be careful. Be careful what you say.
Moving on.
You, let's just move
moving
on.
Moving on.
You know, I asked Kelly one time to cut my grass, and he walked up to me, and he had a pair of scissors in his hand. He said, where do we start?
Yes. It's going to be a long day.
Oh, God.
You brought it up.
Forest Healthcare reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun. Keeping up with your most important player, that's you, is more important. Do what Kelly does. Get an annual physical, Dima. Eat right. Exercise. The example that he sets for us every day.
And I send Ernesto on that, too.
And then if you still have trouble, you can call Forest Health, and they can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. Well, we're happy to be here today, and I learned that Thomas Crabtree is happy to be here as well. Another JUCO kid from Pearl River. Goes to Tennessee for a year, comes back, said that when he was at Pearl River, he and the guys would come up, watch Southern Miss baseball, and hang out with the Southern Miss baseball team, as you're going to hear. So here's a young man who's truly, truly happy to be back.
And he went, Bob, to he's from Tennessee. He's from Collierville, Tennessee. So there was that Tennessee connection out of Pearl River.
But he's back now. He started, what, three games here recently, Demo?
Three out of the last six.
Yeah, and here's Thomas Crabtree.
When I hit the portal, I knew where I wanted to go. I just really hoped that I'd get the offer here, and then I just wanted to come back to a place like this and build with Coach Oz and Coach Leje and just become the pitcher that I needed to be.
All right, what is it about, you said you wanted to come here, what is it was about Southern Miss that was attractive to you?
You know, just the history of Coach Oz and pitchers, and then the great like camaraderie of the team. It's more of a family than a team. Everybody's got each other's backs. And then when I was at Pearl River, we'd come up here and watch some games and hang out with some of the guys on the team. And it just felt like so much like home.
So what has the experience been like for you to this point?
I love every second I've been here. I wouldn't change it for the world. I'm happy that I came here and just can't wait for the rest of the season.
All right, you've started quite a few games here lately. What's your feeling about the way you're pitching right now? If there are areas you want to get better, what are the areas you're still working on?
I feel like I've thrown a lot. I feel like when I do go out there, I need to be able to go a little bit longer than I have for sure, and especially throw up a zero after we score some runs and then just keep like getting deeper and deeper into the game to help our bullpen out.
I want you to talk about pitching for Coach Oz and the other pitching coach that are on this staff. Coach Oz considered to be one of the premier pitching coaches in America. What's it been like working with him?
It's pretty awesome, to say the least. He helps a lot. He's always in your corner. He's always trying to help you out. He's always trying to do something for you to get your edge. And then he always tells us to put that costume on and just go be a dog out on the mound and just he wants you to just keep going. He's never like satisfied. He wants you to just keep making yourself better out on the field.
From a technical standpoint, does he bring a lot to the table to help you improve your game, or is it mostly psychological?
I would say it's huge psychological, but also analytical and stuff like that. Like we added a splitter this year and that's seemed to work, and it's helped my pitch arsenal and just helped me get outs.
All right, being a part of this program, this community that's so in love with this baseball team, the atmosphere here at Pete Taylor Park, I want you to describe what it's been like for you.
It's there's nowhere else in the country that's like this. This is just such a special place with the community involvement and then our involvement with the community, and everybody roots for us, and it's like everybody's got our back on the field and off the field.
All right, moving forward, your personal goals and the goals you think that the team in general has.
I mean, I really don't have any personal goals. I just want to be the best pitcher I can be for this team and help this team win as many games as I can. And then the team goal is always to make it to Omaha, but we want to be playing our best brand of baseball by the time that comes around.
I've seen you do both coming out of the pen, but you've been starting here lately. A preference, and what is the difference in the preparation?
The preparation is a little bit different, but I don't really have a preference. As long as I can get out there and help the team win, it doesn't really matter to me. But the preparation, you just got to keep your arm healthy, get recovery, and then throw on different days if you're coming out of the pen or starting, and then you have your routine as a starter.
All right. Has this been what you expected when you entered the portal? You said you were hoping you could come here. What's it been like for you?
This is the best place I could have been. I don't wish I would have changed anything. I wish this place, it means a lot to everybody here and the tradition and everything. And we want to help make that keep going.
And of course, you become one in a long list of players that have come from Pearl River to Southern Miss. It's quite a relationship between what's arguably one of the best junior college programs in the country and one of the best D1 programs in the country.
Yeah, it's that place was special, and I don't know if I'm the only one who said this, but I feel like Southern Miss is just a bigger version of Pearl River when it comes to that. Everything's run just alike, and it's just everything's family-based and group-based as a team, and everybody does everything together, and it's just such a special place to be.
All right, no regrets about coming back to Hattiesburg?
No, sir, not at all.
Okay. Well, best of luck to you. We're proud to have you here, and hope things just get better and better for you.
Thank you.
All right, that's Thomas Crabtree. Man, those kids that come from Pearl River, they all say the same thing. You know, it's like a family, and it's such a tie now between the programs, Kelly.
Well, and Michael Avalon at Pearl River, he's a pitching guy. Coach Ostrander's a pitching guy, so there is that natural camaraderie there. But you know that when you're getting a pitcher from Pearl River, a guy that's been skilled and taught well, Pearl River continues its role. It's number one in the MACCC, and I think ranked number two in the country. So, and it doesn't appear now that Avalon has been elevated also to athletic director in Poplarville that train is going to be stopping anytime soon. So it's definitely been a great friendship there and a great working relationship mm-hmm. between Avalon and Ostrander.
Damon Crabtree's a young kid, man. He can continue to develop, and he can be a pitching force for the Golden Eagles here in the next year or two.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, like you said, they added that splitter, and that seems to be kind of his best pitch. Outside of that, all the other stuff has kind of struggled to find the zone at certain times or miss barrels. So you hope to see that he starts coming along soon, because that would be another piece for them that they could, you know, extend out to a starter more than what he's gone. He just seems to me like a pitcher that's a lot of hit or miss. You know, he's going to be good sometimes and then not so good sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the hesitation there.
And physically, he has all the tools. It's a matter of getting control.
Yeah.
And pitching more strikes.
Well, it's his fastball to me that's the most concerning. In the fall, it was getting hit a lot by Southern Miss batters. So they tried to change a little bit where he could disguise that fastball a little bit more, which seemed to work in the beginning of the season and now hasn't worked so much. So we'll see. They just need to figure out that pitch for him, because if he can get that fastball and play off that splitter from it, it would be a good pitch mix.
All right, two offensive players we'll have on the show tomorrow. We talk about this terrible, terrible slump that the team is in and how much of it is psychological, how much of it is, the approach. We'll hear about that tomorrow. But the three of us can agree about one thing. It's someone's going to have to find a resolution to this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm mainly looking at the middle to the bottom of the lineup. To me, the Russos, the Gillespies, the Urban, I don't really care about them. They'll be good and bad in certain games, but you can depend on them to be decent. It's the Dre Barretts, the Tucker Stockmans. Those players have got to get going. And Ben Higdon. I mean, those three players to me, if you could get two of those guys just hitting for
Seth
average.
Smith.
Yeah, on the leadoff spot for sure. But you just need some of those guys in your middle of your lineup to make the lineup deep enough where –
which we thought it was.
Yeah. Right, and that's what's the most puzzling.
Yeah. And what concerns me the most, though, is hitting more than any other aspect of baseball is so between your ears. It is so between your ears. And the worse it gets, this slump, the worse it's going to get between the ears, which the human mind is a powerful thing,
yeah.
Guys.
It seemed to be a slump that started with about one or two players, and now it's extended into the whole team. And drastically enough, it's starting to kind of extend into the bullpen, which would just be drastic for this team moving forward. So they need to figure it out.
You and I had that exchange last night. The bullpen starts cracking, things are going to get bad.
Yeah.
Hitting is contagious both on the bad side and the good side.
No doubt.
Super Talk Eagle Hour Podcast. You can tell Alexa or Siri to play the show for you. They will. or you can go to Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Catch the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the air. And for a segment of the show every day is sponsored by Jewel Masters. That's where you go for your gold and silver and old coins and old jewelry. It's where Kelly got rid of his molars in the back. And your grill.
My
grill. You sold it, didn't you?
Yeah, me and Kanye went in together. We walked out with a pretty
good
chunk.
Marty give you top dollar?
Of course.
Confidential?
Yeah, it has to be.
Has to be quick.
Yeah. Yes.
Gave you greenbacks.
Yes, but it was fair.
Yeah.
Kanye walked out with a little more than I did.
I can understand why. Yeah. His grill was a little more valuable.
Just a bit, yeah. Yes.
Marty Vick, they're located on Highway 98 West. They've been around since 1994, Kelly Center. 1994.
I don't even think Kanye's been around since 1994.
No, but Jewel Masters has been, and they were paying top dollar for gold and silver then. They're paying it today. Jewel Masters, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Also, I want to say hello to my good friend Kevin Mullen at Genesis of Hattiesburg. Official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, Genesis sedans and SUVs, all from Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 West. Kevin and I have suffered years and years and years as a Redskin fan, and mercifully that ended a couple of years ago when the patient died.
Well, you could say on the football front that you've suffered as a Southern Miss fan for a few years every once in a while, too.
Well, between being a Redskin fan and a Southern Miss fan, I believe I've got a ticket to heaven, Kelly.
If you didn't pay your dues now, Bob, I don't know what you have to do.
Oh, my God, I've had a lot of suffering Saturdays and Sundays through the years, yeah. All right, news and notes, guys.
Hey, Pauline Love, former women's basketball player at Southern Miss, played under the late Joy Lee McNellis. It is reported is going to be named the next head women's basketball coach at the University of Alabama.
That's a big deal.
She was an assistant coach for Coach McNellis here, and then also in her playing career, played in the early women's professional leagues, not only in the U.S., but overseas as well. So P. Love, as she was called by Coach McNellis, being reported by Justin Phelps and other outlets that Pauline Love will be the next women's head basketball coach at the University of Alabama.
So, you've made it pretty big when you're doing that.
And you have to be careful when you're looking at reports today, because it's April 1st, right? Mm-hmm. And the things that people try to pull on you. So that's why we wanted to make double sure before we reported that.
What was the one I saw I pointed out to you guys before you reminded me it was April the 1st, that Georgia Southern and some other Sun Belt team.
JMU, I think.
JMU were entering the SEC in 2028. And then Dima goes, Bob, it's April 1st.
Yeah. I saw there was a preseason college football top 25 this morning. I was like, oh, I'll check that out. And it was number one, North Dakota State, and number two, JMU. And I was like, yeah, that's probably April Fool's. The biggest question for me this weekend and Norfolk is, where in the world are the Golden Eagles even playing baseball, is my question. Of course, the stadium over there is getting renovated.
That is a good question.
Here's the picture of the stadium with no stands. So what they did was they installed temporary seating only in left field. So
is that where they're playing?
Yes. So
temporary bleachers. And
so I don't know what the ESPN Plus broadcast is going to look like, gentlemen.
Well, that's another hurdle to overcome. When you go into a hole like that and play, my word.
I'll tell you what, the umpires love that. If they're not subjected to any fan abuse that the fans are all the way down.
Hell, that makes the Georgia State Stadium look up to speed.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's weird times this weekend. 5 Central tomorrow on Thursday. 5 p.m. Central, first pitch. 2 p.m. Central, first pitch on Friday. And then 11 a.m. first pitch on Saturday.
11 a.m.?
11 a.m. Easter. Probably for flights back.
Yeah, and that they can get back to...
My schedule's all screwed up.
To spend Easter with their families, yeah. I'm sure. It's
interesting. Well, that's good.
And I am glad, too, that on Easter, just about every sports event takes time off. I mean, the NASCAR guys...
They should.
I agree.
And
so I think it's great.
Next week, one of the best sporting events in the country. Actually, the best sporting event.
What would that be?
We need to have the Masters
theme music. I wish we had the Masters theme music. Dun,
dun, dun. Yeah.
So when you guys watch golf on TV, do you have to drink a lot of coffee?
No.
I don't. No, I'm not drinking a lot of coffee. I'm drinking a lot of something else.
I mean, to stay awake. I mean, you know, watching golf on TV. No?
Not me.
You've never watched golf on TV?
No. Is there someone in your living room going, shh?
Golf clap.
You know, I'll tell you what. I have never screamed at my TV more than in the Masters last season.
Oh, you're
season.
Kidding.
I'm
man.
Not kidding.
You're kidding me.
Rory McIlroy.
Come on, Damon, you're kidding me.
I'm not kidding. I'm not. If you're a golf fan, you know exactly what I'm talking about. With Rory McIlroy last season in the Masters was unbelievable.
Well, the U.S. Open always falls on Father's Day weekend. Mm-hmm. And my kids will call and say, Dad, what do you want for Father's Day? And I said, I want to play a game called Leave Me the Hell Alone. And they go, how do you play
you're
that?
Such a warm, loving guy, I'm telling you.
They said,
I am telling you.
They said, can we tell our listeners the story of him yelling at his sister for wanting lunch?
Let me finish this story first.
We've got a lot of them we could tell.
So I tell my kids, I said, well, I want to play a game called Leave Me the Hell Alone. And they said, well, how do you do that? They said, what do you need to play? I said, I need my recliner, some cold beverages, fresh batteries in the remote, and the big screen TV, and my recliner. And they said, well, what do we need to play? And I said, what you need to play is to leave me the hell alone.
These are your children, Kelly.
Yeah, I know that.
You wouldn't rather have them around you and have warm family time than watching another useless sporting event on TV?
And miss the U.S. Open?
Yeah.
And listen to how they need money and how they don't
family,
appreciate
Kelly,
me?
Family, family. Hey, Damon, thank God it wasn't his grandchildren that asked that.
We heard that story.
Oh, they're not,
we
they're
know
not
all
even,
about that
They're
story.
Not even coming in the house.
Warm and loving Kelly Sander will be back with me tomorrow. Dima is going to be, I think, covering football scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. Leaving his wife at home to go do a job.
And then we will have a 2-hour 10th anniversary show from the studio come Friday. Thanks for listening, everybody. Southern Miss.
To the top. Sipping, sipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.